Hey everybody, and welcome to the Trade Addicts podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I am Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
All right, it's great to get that out in the open. So on today's episode, we are going to be talking about Cam Meredith, Dez Bryant, CJ Anderson, and their recent news. And then the big part of our discussion is going to be quarterbacks. 1QB leagues, 2QB leagues, and Superflex. You know, it's always hard to trade quarterbacks for one reason or another. 1QB, they don't seem to have enough value. 2QB, they seem to have too much. So we're going to try and figure a little some of that out. And then we're going to talk about a podcasters league that the Gut Check Dynasty podcast, shout out, started. You know, we finished our draft a couple of days ago, so I drafted it and then brought Brian on as a co-manager, so he's going to critique my startup. More likely, he's just going to tell me how awesome I did. And then, of course, we have some trades from the Trade Addicts Leagues we'll talk over. So before we get that started, how's it going today, Brian?
Going well, going well. Excited to be here again and excited to talk some football here.
I guess let's just jump straight to it. So Cameron Meredith, who the Bears foolishly put a very low tender on, signed an offer sheet with the Saints, and the Bears did not match them. So Cameron Meredith is officially a Saint. How does that make you feel?
Yeah, excited and frustrated at the same time. I'm excited for him. I'm excited for his fantasy owners. I think the move to New Orleans, even though, you know, New Orleans kind of morphed last year into more of a running squad, I still think that moving there and being able to work with Michael Thomas, Drew Brees, Sean Payton, you know, I think that's going to be really good for him. I definitely can see him winning the number two wide receiver spot on that team. So for him, I'm excited, and I'm excited for his fantasy owners. I don't know what the heck the Bears are doing, though. you know, this guy, especially, like you said, the tender, I just don't understand the tender. If you were okay letting the guy go, why not try to get a little bit more out of this? I just don't understand. You know, Kevin White, good grief. The wind blows. He's in the Windy City and the wind blows and he breaks something. So, you know, I just don't see it. I don't understand why the Bears didn't match when New Orleans came in and put a price tag on. And so I'm frustrated in that regard. I'm not a Bears fan. I just don't like seeing teams make what I think are bad decisions. So that's kind of where I stand with the Cam Meredith deal. What was it? It was 2 years, 9.5-ish. Yeah, 9.6. 2 years, 9.6. So, you know, that's pretty affordable for a guy with you know, the upside of Meredith. I mean, before the injury, he was a pretty exciting player and a guy that I was trying to get my hands on quite a bit. So, you know, I think unfortunately too for Dynasty purposes, his window, the window to buy him is probably gone, or at least to buy him cheap. You know, you might still be able to get him for a reasonable price because people are, you know, not 100% sure what he's going to do in New Orleans. But I think for sure, you know, for me, I think his value definitely increased with this move, and I'm excited to see what he does.
Yeah, and spoiler alert, we have him on the Podcasters League team.
Yes. Good.
I agree completely. I think he walks into that second wide receiver spot on New Orleans without any trouble. You know, the memory of Willie Snead is just a memory at this point, so I don't think he's giving up any fights. And it's not like they had a tight end to throw to, so I think this actually helps everybody. It'll get Michael Thomas a little more open. It'll give a little bit of the running game a break, so, but, you know, because defenders actually have to guard more than just Michael Thomas, so it might draw a little bit out of the box.
Right. Well, and it's also, I mean, you know, they do have other guys there that Breeze has gotten involved in the pass game. You know, Ted Ginn's their long ball guy, and I think he's still there. pretty sure he is. So, you know, so he's still there. But, you know, I mean, I think Meredith is probably a better overall receiver than Ginn is. Yeah. And they do have Ben Watson, I think, coming back, too. But I don't know. I mean, the Ben Watson of a few years ago in New Orleans, you know, I mean, that guy's 36, 37 years old now. So you don't really know what you're going to get out of him in that offense either. So, you know, so yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think Meredith has an opportunity to come in and be the wide receiver too, and definitely get some good looks from Drew Brees. So,
yeah, agreed. So value up all around.
Nice. Yeah, for sure.
So moving on, Dez Bryant.
I can't believe they caught him.
I mean, I can because it's the Cowboys, but I can't because. I mean, I know he's definitely slipped a bit, but I mean, to just cut the dude, and I think that he'll walk into another team. Hopefully, like I put on Twitter, I hope he goes to another NFC East team so we get Angry Dez back.
Oh yeah,
because after that stuff with the Cowboys giving him a babysitter and he got mad, and that's when he made his name for himself.
Sure, but
it looks like no one in the NFC East kind of cares about that.
Yeah. So. I guess the thing that frustrates me the most about this whole Dez thing, I think he's severely being undervalued in the dynasty community. I think he's lost a step. Yeah, he's not the Dez Bryant of you know, 4 or 5 years ago that was just an absolute monster. I mean, we're talking, you know, you were talking about Dez in the same conversation as Calvin and as players like that, Andre Johnson at the time. You know, I mean, Dez was right up there with those guys. He was an absolute monster, especially, you know, I mean, he scored a ton of touchdowns.
Yeah.
He was a beast to bring down. Mm-hmm. He's not that same guy. There's no doubt about it. And if that's what owners are expecting out of him, they're going to be disappointed for sure. But this idea, and I've seen it all over Twitter, and that the guy can't get open, that he can't make contested catches, all of this stuff. I don't see that. When I'm watching games, when I'm watching tape, I don't see that out of Dez. I'm not, you know, again, and maybe I don't know what I'm looking for. So, you know, but to me, he's a guy. Now, is he worth what they were going to have to pay him this year? I don't really know. Again, I don't know the exact number there. I think you said 8. I don't know if that's accurate, but, you know,
making that up. I don't remember.
I don't know. I mean, I think he's 29, so it's not like he's dead, you know. I mean, the guy's, you know, and I understand he's towards the back end of his career probably, but who's saying another team and another, you know, another organization gives him a chance here? I could see him 2 or 3 years of decent numbers. You know, again, not the Dez of 4 or 5 years ago. If you're expecting that guy, that's not going to happen. You're not going to get him.
Yeah, I think it's one of the flawed logics that dynasty players use is that once a guy is up there with Calvin Johnson and Andre Johnson, that's all he could ever be. That's the only way they'll think of him, either that or he's dead. I think that's
right.
What they're going through with Dez right now. No one can really comprehend the fact that maybe he'll be a nice low-end wide receiver too. I mean, and that's valuable to a team.
Right. Absolutely. I agree 100% there. And, you know, and you're absolutely right. And that seems to happen to those types of receivers. Demaryius Thomas is another one that it's the same thing. I mean, he's been solid with awful quarterback play the last couple of years.
Truth.
I mean, even the Peyton Manning final season. I mean, the guy was. It was a limp noodle arm, mm-hmm. You know, so and Thomas still was putting up decent numbers. He wasn't putting up the 1400, you know, the 105 catches for 1400 yards and 14 touchdown seasons. No, but he was still over 1,000 yards. He was still catching 7 touchdowns or so, you know, and again, it's like you said, you know, these receivers that once they hit that upper echelon, it's like, well, if they're not producing at that level when they're 29 and 30 and 31 years old, well, then they're not worth anything. And I disagree with that. Like you said, I think, you know, if you're expecting that, then they're not. You're right. They're not going to live up to expectations. But, you know, if you're looking at them as a wide receiver 2 on your fantasy squad, you know, I think they can produce those numbers potentially on the low end, like you said, you know, low end wide receiver too. I think that's doable for Dez Bryant in the right situation here.
All right, so rookie picks, what do you think is a good offer if I was going to try and buy Dez from you?
So if I was selling Dez Bryant, I would not take less than a second rounder for sure. I would just ride off into the sunset you know, with his production.
So 12-team league, if I threw the 207 at you,
it would depend on my team. It would depend on my team makeup. If I needed some wide receiver help, I would definitely consider that.
All right, so you'd be willing to give up Dez for the 207? Yeah.
I'm sorry, I got that backwards there. I was thinking it the other way. Like I would pay the 207 for Dez if I needed wide receiver help. So if I own Dez, what would I give him up for? I'd probably give him up for any second.
Okay, that's fair. I'd probably agree, going back to that dude offered me the 312.
I would not be giving him away for the 312 for sure.
Yeah, that's going to stick with me for a while. All right, so the leftovers talk of this conversation, do we care about Allen Hurns?
We'll see. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, initially, no, I'm not real excited about it. I don't know that he's going to be a whole lot better of an athlete than Dez Bryant, even at 29 years old. You know, I'm not sure. I'm not excited about it. He could prove me wrong. I mean, he had a nice season in Jacksonville there, him and Allen Robinson, you know, during their early years. I don't know if it was, I think it was like their, you know, second year there or third year there where they both were kind of beasting pretty good. Could he do that? Yeah, he might. I mean, as of right now, he's the number one guy there. I don't think he's going to be after April 26th.
Agreed.
You know, I think Dallas definitely is going to go wide receiver at 19. I don't know who. It might be Sutton. It might be Moore. I thought it was going to be Ridley for a long time, but people seem to be cooling on him quite a bit. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see. But I definitely think that they're going to be in the market for a wide receiver early in the draft, which, you know, then Hurns is, you know, maybe the same guy he was in Jacksonville. To an extent, I think his quarterback's better. I think Dak's better than Blake, personally. So, you know, so he could be decent, but I'm not like overly excited about it.
Yeah, me neither. I think if I owned Hurns, which I do not in any of my many leagues, I would probably take any third for him and call it a victory if I was able to unload him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would definitely probably do the same.
All right, and speaking of the news of why did they wait so long to cut a guy, C.J. Anderson was cut. I think that was today or yesterday or something like that.
It was. I believe it was today, yes.
All right, well, the day we're recording, C.J. Anderson was cut. Do we care about C.J. Anderson or Devontae Booker or my guy, D'Angelo Henderson?
Well, C.J. Anderson is a weird one. He had like the quietest 1,000-yard season in the history of football last year. I mean, looking at the stats, I mean, it's amazing. I had no idea that he went over 1,000 yards last year. Do I care about CJ Anderson? It depends. It depends on where he ends up. I don't want him to go to Miami. I know that's one of the places where I've heard that he might land. I think they tried to trade for him and then something got screwed up in that deal. Yeah, they backed out. So, you know, will he end up there with Gase? Maybe. If he does, I don't like that for a couple reasons. Number one, I wanted to see Drake get an opportunity there to be the bell cow because he proved that he could do it. You know, but if he goes there, now he's, you know, now those two are splitting carries. I don't know what other options he has as far as, you know, we'll see where he ends up. I'm not overly excited about him. he's a guy that I think at best is a depth guy on your roster. Mm-hmm. You know, not an NFL team's roster. I mean, he'll be mildly productive probably for an NFL team. But fantasy wise, I don't know. You know, I really don't see Anderson being too relevant outside of being a depth guy, you know, that you can plug on a bye week or throw into a trade, you know, for somebody who owns the other back in whatever backfield he ends up in. That's so kind of where I am on him.
Are you trying to jump on any CJ Anderson owners, try and grab a share before we know where he lands?
No. No.
Nice and easy.
To make it simple, for me, no. I'm not really interested in that personally. I'm more interested in what's going to happen in Denver with the backs that they have or the back that they're bringing in. I am a huge Saquon Barkley guy. I'm from Central Pennsylvania, admittedly, so you know, I got to watch a lot of his games in person. Met him on a couple occasions. He's a good kid, and I'm really excited about him in the league. I would love to see him in Denver. I've been waiting for them to have a back like TD, Terrell Davis, mm-hmm. since he left. So I would absolutely love to see Saquon Barkley there. I don't think it's probably going to happen, although today that was the first thought that ran through my mind when they cut Anderson. So we'll see what happens with that. My guess is they're probably not going to do that. They'll probably either go offensive line or quarterback at five, depending on what happens in the few spots before them. And then, you know, take a running back later in the draft somewhere. It's a deep class for backs. So, you know, I could see them not taking him early, not taking Barkley early, and then maybe jumping on one of those other running backs in a later round. But I'm interested to see what happens. I definitely think they bring someone in. You know, they'll probably do one of these, it's an open competition thing, mm-hmm. to start the year between Booker and Henderson. Yeah. So, you know, we'll see who comes out on top of that. From what I've seen with my two eyes, I can see Henderson winning that battle. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, we'll see. I mean, it seems like Denver keeps going back to Booker for some reason.
Yep.
You know, so we'll see what happens there, but I'm interested in that situation. I'm excited to see what happens there with those backs. And then I'd probably be more inclined to get in on the Denver backfield at some point once a starter's named and you kind of have a clear picture as to what they're going to do, more so than getting in on Anderson.
Yeah. D'Angelo Henderson is a favorite stash of mine. At the end of last season, when everyone was asking who your favorite stash is, Carlos Henderson and D'Angelo Henderson were always on my list.
Yeah, I love Carlos Henderson, boy. I like him a lot.
Yeah, so he's my – if I had a couple of thirds that just sitting around, I'd throw one or two at him at the D'Angelo.
Yeah.
Try and grab him. Again, it's a couple of thirds. It's a third or two. I mean, that's not the biggest risk, but the reward could be gigantic because – Denver's running back is always worth something.
Sure, absolutely.
All right, well, that's all the news we have for at least right now. So now we'll get into the big show, the big topic, the other big things. Quarterbacks. Let's start with one quarterback leagues. Is it physically possible to trade a quarterback in a one quarterback league?
It is. I've seen them. I've seen deals. Where quarterbacks move, but it seems a lot more difficult for sure. It's funny the difference in value in quarterbacks in one versus two quarterback leagues, or one versus one quarterback versus super flex leagues. Your trade addicts leagues are super flex, mm-hmm. And I am totally opposite when it comes to my strategies between one quarterback leagues and two quarterback or super flex leagues. In one quarterback leagues, I punt hard. Mm-hmm. I don't draft a quarterback until I have to, pretty much.
Yep.
You know, just because I, you know, in a one QB league, the difference between the top scoring QB and the 10th guy or the 12th guy isn't as large, I think, as what it would be between the top guy at another position and a middle of the road guy. So in super flex leagues or two quarterback leagues, it's totally opposite. And you know this because you and I have had several discussions in our Trade Addicts 2 league about quarterbacks. And I hold quarterbacks to a very high regard, or their value is super high for me in 2QB and super flex leagues. I remember my first super flex league that I ever did a couple of years ago, and I drafted Russell Wilson 4th overall. And then the guy that had drafted Luck 1st overall, this was before all the shoulder crap, put him on the block before my 2nd round pick. So I made a blockbuster trade, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but I ended up receiving Andrew Luck. So I started my team that year with Luck and Wilson. Now, unfortunately, I got a little bit burned by that strategy because Wilson had a down year. Then, you know, Luck with all his injury stuff, and the rest of my roster, because I traded a lot of assets, was pretty depleted. So I've made a lot of moves, and I don't own either one of those guys now. And I wish I would have just been patient enough. That's, again, as a trade addict, that's one of those things. You know, I'm when your team's not doing well, you're trying to improve, or you're, you know, thinking, okay, well, I got to flip this thing upside down if I'm going to compete next year, or whatever you're doing. And so I don't own either one of those guys, and I wish I'd have been patient and hung on to them, especially Wilson. I mean, Luck right now, you know, I could live with that one the way that sits right now, because I got pretty good return in that deal. But the Wilson deal, you know, it was painful trading him away. But anyways, the whole point of that is I really hold quarterbacks, you know, in your league, in Trade Addicts 2 there. Okay. I drafted 3 quarterbacks in the first 4 rounds. I think I had
Mahomes, Newton.
Yeah, I had Mahomes in the 4th, and I had Cam and Deshaun Watson before that. Go. So I took Beckham, I think, 3rd overall, which killed me. I'm not a big Odell, but we don't have to get into that. But then, yeah, I took the quarterbacks like 3 picks in a row there. So, you know, they're very valuable in super flex leagues. You know, different scoring changes things too with that. You know, 4-point versus 5 or 6-point passing touchdowns, you know, different point totals for yardage. You know, in the Trade Addicts leagues, I think it's 4 per passing touchdown, yes, which is pretty standard in super. I mean, a lot of super flex leagues, that's, you know, that's pretty, or two quarterback leagues, that's pretty standard. So, but yeah, I mean, quarterbacks are just, they're your highest scorers. And if you can, you know, if you can have an elite guy and then another guy that's like a, you know, top 12 to 15 guy or 10 to 15 guy, it really gives you an advantage in those types of leagues.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm terrible at valuing quarterbacks because it's funny. One of the things that always made me happy, I was playing fantasy for about 10 years before I got into Dynasty and before I ever heard of J.J. Zacharyson and his late-round quarterback stuff.
Right.
But I was doing that. I was the last person to draft a quarterback in my redraft and, you know, still winning. And then I heard, you know, I started listening to Living the Stream and all that, and I'm like, OMG, I do that already.
Yeah. So, yeah, for sure. And in one quarterback leagues, it makes sense. You know, I think in two quarterback and super flex leagues, if that is your strategy, you're normally going to be at a little bit of a disadvantage, especially later on. Now, if you can get 2 mid-range guys, you know, if you wait a little bit to get your first one, but then you take 2 kind of somewhere close to one another, not too late in the draft, you can sometimes be okay. Or you compare, or not compare, can pair, you know, a younger high upside guy with an older veteran guy that you know only has 2 to 3 years left, and be okay there for that time period. But then you also have to take you know, you also have to maybe take quarterbacks in your rookie drafts, obviously, or figure out a way to, you know, figure out what you're going to do a couple years down the road. Now, again, you're playing to win now. I mean, most people, you know, you want to win a championship every once in a while. So, you know, so you don't want to think too far out ahead. But, you know, a guy like Brady, for example, right now, how many years does he have left? Well, no one knows. I mean, he's kind of bionic right now, so he might have 7 years left. I don't know. But realistically, probably not. I mean, he's probably got another year or two max. So, you know, in a super flex, you compare him, you know, if you get a Mahomes or a Watson or a, you know, Matthew Stafford, I don't know, a guy early, and then, you know, Brady maybe a little bit later, that can be a nice pairing to make you competitive right now. So,
all right, so let's do a real comparison these trade addicts can wrap their heads around.
Yeah.
Let's go with Cam Newton, because I tried to get him from you and realized how wrong I was. in a one quarterback league, rookie picks wise, what would you offer up for Cam Newton? Just let's pretend we're just trading for quarterbacks.
I typically do not offer a first round pick for a quarterback in a redraft.
All right. Well, yeah.
Or in a one QB league.
Yeah.
Sorry, not in a redraft.
Let's pretend that's what we're doing, because, all right, don't trade for quarterbacks, people. It's really not necessary.
Right. So, okay. So I would not give up a first. I would probably pay a second for Cam.
I would easily give up the two. I'd give up the 201 easy.
Probably. Yeah, I probably would too. And especially because the other thing about Cam that's a little bit different, or Watson or Wilson or those types of guys, is they're going to get you rushing yardage and touchdowns as well.
Yep.
So they're, you know, I would probably be more willing to pay for one of those guys than I would for, you know, a more of a pocket guy.
Yeah.
All right. In a one QB.
Yes, one QB. This is all right now, one QB until I say these next words. In a two QB or super flex league, I'm guessing 201 is not getting you Cam Newton.
Multiple firsts.
Multiple what kind of firsts? Are we talking 105, 107, or are we talking 102, 105?
I would say – I made that deal that we talked about in the last episode for Mahomes. It was 104 and 107. That deal would not have gotten it done for Cam. Not even close.
Because of the 4 or because of the 7?
Because of the 7. Now, okay. I would have considered 102 and 104. I know that the gentleman that I was trading with had the 102 as well. If he'd have been interested in 102 and 104, I'd have thought about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I'd have done it, but that would have been a lot closer.
Yeah, see, that I wish I could remember all the crap I was sending you, which were, now that I look back at it, bad, bad crap offers.
Hey, it's all good, man. That's one thing about me. I never get upset at trade offers. If you ever end up in a league with me, send them. It doesn't matter if they're bad. A lot of people get really hot about trade offers. I don't. I mean, I was new in Dynasty once too, and I didn't know what I was doing. So, you know, I tried to learn, but, you know, when you're sending those first offers the first couple of years, and look, experienced owners do it too. You know, you're always trying to get the best value that you can get in a deal. So sometimes that first offer is a little bit like, oh, come on, dude, you know, like, send me something that's reasonable. But I just reply with one of those, hey, you know, I'm not really feeling this one. It's going to take a lot more if you want this player. You know, for the value that you sent, I'd be willing to move this guy, or I'm not willing to move anyone for the value sent. Whatever. I'm a big feedback guy too. I always write a comment, even if it's a crap offer. I mean, and trust me, we've gotten some. Your Dez deal was that deal you got for Dez was a pretty crap offer. So, but you know, we all deal with that as dynasty owners. You know, but I've just found it always to be more productive overall to send feedback. You know, even if the offer's terrible, it's like, or offer is terrible. You know, not really feeling this. I don't think it's very close at all on value. You know, you're going to definitely have to up your offer if you want this player. Or here's what I think the player's worth. You know, what do you think about that? Or whatever. But I always try to give feedback in those deals. So anyways, back to what we were talking about. Yeah, don't worry about the offers that you know, that you've sent. I think you're learning, and I think you'll send me better offers in the future, hopefully. Maybe Keenan Allen sometime in the next century.
Back off my Keenan Allen.
I want him so bad on my team in that league.
Hey, if you really wanted him bad, you'd be sending some good offers my way.
All right, maybe, maybe in a future episode, we'll see if we can get something done on the air.
Challenge accepted. Next week, everybody.
That would be a lot of fun. That would be a lot of fun.
All right, moving on. I mentioned the Podcasters League we joined that was started by the Gut Check Dynasty podcast, which if you don't have sensitive ears, check those guys out. Don't listen to it in front of your children. Nice guys, funny guys.
Yeah, really funny guys. Really funny guys.
So this is a very similar league to the Trade Addicts League. 12 teams, super flex, PPR, tight end premium. Not quite the premium we have in Trade Addicts, but still. We had the startup draft, which included rookie players. It ended a few days ago. I showed... Well, actually, let me give you a quick read down of the team I drafted.
Okay.
At quarterback, Jared Goff, which I got the day Brandon Cooks was traded. The trade was announced, and then two picks later, I got Goff.
Nice.
Alex Smith, Sam Darnold, and Mason Rudolph. At running back, I got Devontae Freeman, Mark Ingram, Josh Adams, Nick Chubb, Corey Grant, J.D. McKissick, and Thomas Rawls.
Okay.
Wide receiver, Antonio Brown, Keelan Cole, Quincy Enunwa, Larry Fitzgerald, Pierre Garcon, Deshaun Hamilton, Marvin Jones, Marquise Lee, Cameron Meredith, Allen Robinson, Ardarius Stewart, Trent Taylor, and Adam Thielen. I'm actually very proud of that wide receiver core.
Killed it!
And at tight end, Eric Ebron, Charles Clay, Mark Andrews, and Jesse James. And that is what I sacrificed for getting my wide receiver core. So, of course, I didn't care enough to put you in the startup, but, you know, you're part of the team now. What do you think we should do?
Yeah, no, I appreciate you bringing me on to co-manage this squad. I like this team. I like it a lot. I really like those wide receivers, man. Why don't we we'll go down through here. I'll go through each position group here, and we'll kind of talk about that real quick, just each position group separately.
Cool.
So quarterback, this is super flex league, right?
Yep.
Okay. So I love Goff. I love the Goff. I love the Goff pick a lot. We got lucky there with the Cooks trade. I think that's going to help him a lot. He's pretty reliable on deep balls. So yeah, no, I like Goff a lot. You know, Alex Smith is definitely serviceable. I mean, the guy was awesome last year. If he plays like he played last year, you stole him, I'm sure. That guy is, you know, he historically, over his career, hasn't been, you know, a guy to get super excited about, but pretty consistent. But last year, good grief. I mean, I think he was a top quarterback overall, wasn't he? Or close to it.
Top five, so, at least. So yeah, keep it going, Alex.
So, yeah, absolutely. No. And I do like, you know, I don't know that he has the weapons that he had in Kansas City, in Washington. Probably not. Thinking about it. But, you know, again, if he's even remotely close to that level, I like Smith. I like Darnold. He's going to be one of these top quarterbacks in the draft here in a couple of weeks, for sure. So hopefully he goes to a good situation there, if you can call any of those situations good. But a high upside guy, I think. A little raw maybe, but all the physical tools, very successful collegiate career. So I like that. And then Rudolph is one of those guys that's, you know, I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens with him, where he goes and what opportunities he gets. He was unbelievable at Oklahoma State. A very productive guy there. He did have a beast at receiver in James Washington. So we'll see what happens.
I heard rumors of the Patriots liking him. So I'm like, let me jump on that just in case.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, and that could be, I think definitely for Rudolph, that's a, that's a situation that would be very beneficial, a situation where he could go and sit for a year, maybe two, and learn and have the game slow down a little bit before he gets thrown to the Wolves. So this group I like pretty well. Moving to the running backs. Again, I like this group, man. Freeman and Ingram are both reliable guys that are consistent for the most part. They're also guys that a lot of the dynasty owners don't seem to be really excited about right now. I think, age probably plays into that. Ingram, I think, is 28 now, and Freeman 26 or 27. But and obviously, I think Shanahan leaving Atlanta hurt Freeman a little bit. He was an animal in that system. But I like both of those guys. I love Nick Chubb. Mm-hmm. I love Nick Chubb. I love that pick. Very excited about him. I saw enough this past college football season to believe that knee is good to go. And then he absolutely crushed the combine. If it wasn't for Saquon Barkley, we'd all be talking about Nick Chubb. So very excited about that. Adams is another guy that I watched a lot. I think he runs a little upright personally. He kind of reminds me of Latin Murray.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, speed wise and all of his combine numbers and all that stuff or all of his pro day numbers, whatever. I haven't looked at that, for Adams, per se, but, that's the guy that comes to mind when I watch him run is Latavius Murray. So a solid NFL starter, is a real possibility for him. We'll see where he ends up. On obviously, I mean, these rookies, their value is gonna go up or down or shift a little depending on the situations they go to. But I like taking a flyer on him for sure. Grant is another guy in Jacksonville, I think, that could potentially get a little bit more work. I mean, obviously Fournette is the workhorse there. And you have Yeldon, who was pretty efficient as a passing down back last year, but Grant in his limited work last year was pretty efficient as well. So, I like that one too. McKissick, we'll see what happens there in Seattle. That backfield's a mess. It's been a mess since Marshawn didn't get the ball at the 1 yard line in the Super Bowl, pretty much.
Dude,
so
come on.
It's ridiculous. I know. That's right. You're a Seahawks fan. Yeah. Sorry, man. But I mean, that backfield's kind of a mess. We'll see what happens. I could definitely see them taking somebody in the draft as well. Maybe not early, but again, we talked a little bit about the depth of this draft, and I think that Seattle will definitely be in the market for a back. So those are the running backs. And then the wide receivers, man, I mean, just I'm standing up right now in my basement where I'm set up, and this is wonderful. Clap. I'm clapping here. That's a heck of a job.
I'm bowing right now.
Yes, thank you. Of a job. So let's talk about these guys. So AB is a beast. He's let me say this, and I am a Steelers fan, but I can say it too because it's true. He's the best wide receiver in the game.
I don't really think that's a hot take. I'll take it. I live in New Jersey, even though I'm not a Giants fan. So, I'm still surrounded by Odell, but I still think easily Antonio Brown, best wide receiver in football.
Yeah, best wide receiver in the game, in my opinion. So we'll start there. Love that. Love having AB. And this will be literally, again, I said I'm a Steelers fan. This is literally the first share I have of him, period. I just have not been able to get my hands on him anywhere where I've been drafting or trading or whatever over the last several years. So I'm excited about this. I'm hoping that he's got another couple of years here with Ben to be able to be the stud that he is, because he is unbelievable. So I love Brown. So last week, I think I mentioned at least my love for Allen Robinson. Mm-hmm. I love Allen Robinson. A lot of people do not. Robinson seems to be a very polarizing player.
He should not be. If you don't like Allen Robinson, you're wrong.
I agree. I really do. And, you know, and I guess the thing that upsets me the absolute most about the non-Allen Robinson fan, I don't have a problem if people, you know, we all value players differently, right? So I don't have a problem if people value Allen Robinson lower than I do. That's fine. You have every right to not like him as much as I do. Again, I could there be a little bit bias because I live in central Pennsylvania? Yes, there could be. Absolutely. I don't think that's the case with this guy, especially. Maybe more so Saquon. but Robinson is the thing that bothers me the most about the other side of the argument here with people that don't like Allen Robinson tend to always bring up garbage time production. It's hogwash. It's absolute hogwash. Go look at the games. Watch the games. Do the splits. He's not a garbage time guy. You know, he had a monster season 2 years ago. So it's not that far, you know, gone. And guess what? He's 24 years old. 24. I mean, it feels like Allen Robinson's been in the league 10 years. He's 24 years old. I mean, the guy is younger than, like, Calvin Ridley. Seriously. Right? Yeah. And he's already got an 80 catch, 1,400 yard, 14 touchdown season under his belt already.
All right. Let's take a deep breath. Breathe in.
All right. So that's my Allen Robinson. I told you, man, it was going to get serious. I told you last week that when it came to Allen Robinson, it was going to get serious with me. And here we are a week later, and I have the opportunity to talk about him a little bit. So anyways, I'm very excited about having Allen Robinson on my team as well here, you know, on our team as well. I love Fitzgerald. Love him. Obviously, that's a short-term deal. Yeah. You know, probably 1 year. This is probably it for him. I'm really going to try to take in those games this year as much as I possibly can, the Cards games. I hope that Bradford or whatever quarterback's standing in there, because he probably won't last a game or two behind that line. But I'm really hoping that Fitzgerald can ride off with a good season. He deserves it. He's just he's an unbelievable player. He's one of the greatest of all time, in my opinion. He's a better guy, I think, than he is a player, even, which is saying something because he's an unreal player. So really hoping that he can have the season that he deserves to have in his final year. But, you know, the last couple of years, he's been very productive at an advanced age, you know. Yep. So I'm hoping that that'll continue for our team here. Mm-hmm. So I like that one. You know, and then you have – well, okay, so we talked about Meredith earlier a little bit. Mm-hmm. Excited about that. That's a high upside thing. You have Adam Thielen, who's the best wide receiver in Minnesota. I said it.
All right, move on.
All right. So excited there. And then Marvin Jones, who's probably one of the most undervalued wide receivers in the league.
Amen.
So I love this squad, you know, and then you have other guys mixed in there, too, that have some high upside. Keelan Cole, he might be the number one wide receiver in Jacksonville. And I don't know.
I'm sure your boy, Deshaun Hamilton.
Yeah, that's right. I like Hamilton again. And now Hammy's going to be a guy that is he's a slot guy for sure. I mean, that's what he is. So he's not going to ever put up the 1,200, 1,300 yard, 15 touchdown seasons. That's not happening. Not even close. But can he be a 906 guy? Yeah, I think he can. Especially in the right situation. So we'll see what happens there. He's an unbelievable route runner, and obviously, I mean, that's what everybody's talking about when they're talking about him. But that's exactly why
I grabbed him.
Yeah, but he's a very good route runner. He gets separation. He makes contested catches. He doesn't high point the ball, which I wish he would do a little bit more. But he still somehow comes down with it, catching it on his chest. So. But yeah, I like Hammy. I actually be on the lookout here the next week or so. Should have an article out on him over at DLF. So make sure you read through that. But
shameless plug.
Hey man, you gotta do it, right? So, but yeah. So I like Hammy. You know, and then you have high upside guys. You have Garcon, you have Inoue coming off the injury. Marquise Lee, maybe he's the wide receiver one in Jacksonville. I don't freaking know. But we got both of them locked down, so if one of them ends up being productive, we're in good shape.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Ardarius Stewart's a rookie that didn't see much time last year in New York, but has anyone looked at that wide receiver situation lately? I mean, somebody's going to get an opportunity there, so maybe it'll be him. I like Taylor a lot, Trent Taylor. I think that'll be a pick that that might be a guy that we might be able to work in a deal somewhere to improve elsewhere. The nice thing about this wide receiving core is the depth. I mean, there's a lot of guys here that can be productive guys, and you need those players to be able to make deals. You know, we talked, I think, the last time, you know, you got to give good players to get good players.
Yep.
So the more good players you have, you know, there'll be a team in our league, in the pod league, where, you know, they'll be weak at wide receiver. Well, guess what? We have a crap ton of good ones. So if we need some help somewhere else, tight end, and we're going to get to that next. But if we need some help there, you know, let's make a deal. So it's always good to have those, you know, to have good depth and trade pieces. And then that takes us to tight end, and this one will be a little bit shorter because it's least the smallest position group. But so we have Ebron, who is in Indy now. A lot of his value might depend on luck and how healthy he is. If he's healthy, I don't think Ebron's that bad. And I think he could be better than he was in Detroit with Andrew Luck over having Matt Stafford in Detroit. So I do like Matt Stafford a lot. You'll probably hear that in another pod too, or another episode too. But yeah, Ebron, you know, he definitely can be a starting tight end for our squad here. And I think he probably will be, especially early on. Jesse James, another Penn State guy. I like Jesse James. I think his fantasy production is going to be limited because of Vance McDonald and because they just, you know, for some reason he hasn't turned into the Heath Miller of, you know, in Pittsburgh. I thought he had a chance to do that a couple of years ago when he came into the league. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll have a big game now and again, but not a guy that you can really rely on week to week. And especially with McDonald there now. Clay is a guy that, you know, Buffalo for me is, I have a hard time with Buffalo. Just have a hard time understanding what exactly is going to happen there. I know LeSean McCoy is going to get a ton of carries. That's about the only thing I know in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. You know, Clay, I think, was it with Tyrod or was it with Fitzpatrick that he had such a big, he started off a season real hot one of the last couple of years and then got hurt.
Well, that happened this year too.
Was it this year? Yeah. So, you know, so if he's healthy, it'll just depend on the quarterback. You know, yeah. It'll depend. I mean, I know McCarron's there. I don't know about McCarron. I'm not. Yeah, that's how I feel too. About the same. you know, they're probably going to try to draft a guy at some point. Either, you know, whether they trade up into the early first round here. That's obviously the, you know, some buzz, some draft day buzz that's going on about Buffalo moving up. But we'll see if they are able to do that. If they are, and they get one of those top guys, you know, then Buffalo could be an interesting situation, especially with a rookie quarterback. You know, they like, you know, a lot of rookie quarterbacks like having that safety net. And if Clay ends up being that guy, you know, that could be a better situation than it looks like as we sit right now. So, and then Mark Andrews, the tight end out of Oklahoma, love this pick too. We were talking before we came on the air about the three really athletic tight ends in this class. Yeah. And this guy's one of them. And I'm excited about him. I think he's a solid guy, a lot of talent. You know, again, we'll see where he goes and what opportunities he gets. But this is a guy that could come in and definitely be a factor on this squad. So I love this team, man. When you asked me to co-manage it, I was kind of – I mean, I was excited, obviously, because, I mean, you can't get too much dynasty, right? So, when I looked at the roster, I was very impressed, I will say. So, very nice job. I'm excited to be in this league with a lot of other really great shows, and really great guys that do those shows. So I'm excited about it, and thanks for inviting me in on that. So,
all right, well, we're running a little long, so we're gonna quickly go through these last two trades. For the first trade, it was Trade Addicts 2, I believe.
Yeah.
This was Todd Gurley for Kareem Hunt and Juju Smith-Schuster. Now, again, Trade Addicts Leagues, 12-team, Superflex, PPR, and tight ends get a premium of 0.75 on top of the PPR, though there's no tight ends in any of this. I put every trade up to a Twitter poll, or they do, and I retweet it. This one ended at 60% in favor of Gurley. Do you agree?
This one's tough for me. I mean, I like Todd. I love Todd Gurley. I mean, Todd Gurley is a beast. He's just an animal. I was not worried after the sophomore season. You know, the guy has unbelievable talent. He's just, if you watch enough of him, you just knew he was going to bounce back. And I mean, that whole offense, I mean, Jeff Fisher, yeah. Come on. I mean, that was awful. So I love Gurley. I love Hunt, though, too. I think, you know, what Hunt did with Andy Reid and that Chiefs offense last year was very impressive. Yes, and Juju's more than just a piece in this deal. For me, you know, I like Juju. I think he's definitely the wide receiver too in Pittsburgh, no doubt about it. Martavis, see you later. He's on the roster this year, but he won't be moving forward. I'm 98% sure of that. So, you know, I like Juju. Now, is Juju's upside capped? Probably, because Antonio Brown's not going anywhere. Okay. True. Having said that, Juju's never going to see double coverage, you know? So, I mean, if this guy, you know, he seems to be a pretty good route runner. He makes tough catches. He's got speed to break away. I mean, we saw that in the Detroit game when he had the 97-yard touchdown pass. I think that was a Sunday night game this past season. So, you know, I for me, this one's tough. I mean, I'm typically a guy that likes to consolidate assets and go get the stud player, and that's Todd Gurley in this one. But you can't really say that Kareem Hunt wasn't a stud last year.
Yep.
I mean, if you owned that guy, he probably, you know, I mean, obviously Todd Gurley weeks 13, 14, 15 during the play, or 14, 15, 16 during the playoffs was just insane. He won a bunch of people a bunch of leagues.
Very glad I didn't run into him.
Yeah, same here. But Hunt did the same. I mean, Hunt had a game, I don't know which week it was, but they played San Diego, and it was Hunt and Melvin Gordon both went off. They both had like 30-some PPR fantasy points or whatever. So, you know, and the way that he started his season in New England and the first four or five weeks were just, I mean, he was an animal too. So I don't know. I mean, normally, like I said, I like now here's what I'd say. Knowing these two teams, mm-hmm. I think it's a good trade for both guys.
Yes, it definitely was.
For sure. I mean, both of these teams, this deal makes sense for their squad. So, you know, in a vacuum, I'm probably taking the Hunt-Schuster side.
Yeah, I voted for that side.
But it's really close.
Now, this with Twitter polls, if it's 60-40, I call it a draw. I think if it's anything further away than that is when I start to consider whoever won a winner. Because the variance in Twitter polls, especially when you have complex rulings like we do, you know, you never really know if people read them or just look and click buttons.
Sure, right.
But yeah, I voted for the Hunt and Juju side. But again, I don't think anybody lost this one.
Yep.
All right, and now for my big boy trade in Trade Addicts 1. Mike Evans and Deontay Foreman and the 302 for Julio Jones, Dez Bryant, Jamal Williams, and a 19 first. Now, let me give you my thinking behind, because this was mine, clearly.
Okay.
I traded away Julio Jones, Dez, Jamal Williams, and the first for Mike Evans. Mm-hmm. This was a little bit of what I said you shouldn't do in the second episode. I wanted Mike Evans, so I just went and got him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is a game for fun, and that's what I wanted.
Sure.
So in this trade, to me, Julio and the 19 first equals Mike Evans. To me, that's a fair valuation, especially in Superflex, where draft picks, we get a little more value added to them because quarterbacks can get drafted in the first round, which they don't normally. And in which case, Dez Bryant and Jamal Williams for Deontay Foreman and the 302, I mean, to me, that's a whole lot of whatever. To me, Deontay Foreman has the highest upside just because I think there's less in his way of getting the starting role than there is Jamal Williams. So to me, I think, you know, like I said, if the Twitter poll is only the 10% away from being 50-50, I call it an even draw. I think this was a very fair trade. I like my side better, clearly.
Yeah, so this is definitely a big boy trade. I like it. I love looking at these deals too, because especially from, you know, from the outside, being able to see and hashtag Dynasty Trades is like one of the greatest things that's ever happened to Dynasty football. Just being able to see how other people value guys and looking at these polls. This particular deal, I like a lot of the pieces of this deal. I'm a big Julio guy. He's one of my guys. I like him. I still think he has a lot of value, even though he's creeping up a little bit in the age department. I'm also a huge Mike Evans guy. I own him in Trade Addicts too. You've been trying to get him in that league too. So, I believe I voted for the Evans side, but I think it's a pretty fair deal. So here's where I am with this. I would have a hard time giving up the Julio side for the Mike Evans side if I owned the Julio side. Okay. Having said that, watching player values the way that we all watch them, I understand that Julio, for a lot of people, probably the majority of dynasty players right now, is a declining asset. Okay. So adding a future first, to go get a guy that is one of your guys that you want to own. You know, I don't have any problem with that whatsoever. I think it's a pretty fair deal. Mm-hmm. I think the way that I value players personally, I would probably lean 1% to the Julio side, but understanding player values and having a pulse in the dynasty community, just being so involved in it and whatnot, and understanding that Julio doesn't have the value he had in previous years, you know, that's why I voted for the Evans side when I just did the gut check, you know, look at this thing and read the settings and hit the button. I chose the Evans side. So it's a pretty fair deal. I don't blame you for going and getting your guy. I think you'll be fine there. And I think the guy that got the other side will be fine as well, especially if he's a guy that's looking to compete right now or the next, you know, 2 or 3 years. So yeah, another good deal.
Yeah, fun stuff. All right, well, before we wrap everything up, why don't you let the good people know where they can find you?
Yeah, so I am at Brian Harr, that's BrianHarrff, on Twitter. And you can, again, catch some of my work over at DLF. I should have a couple articles out, I believe, this week. We're doing our rookie profiles over there, so those should be out here soon. And that's where you can find me.
Yeah, and you mentioned like the hashtag Dynasty Trades. Every trade I post every trade that is posted to the Trade Addicts on Twitter, I hashtag Trade Addicts. So if you want to see the ridiculous amount of trades that go down, you could always check those out.
And there are a ridiculous amount that go down in those leagues for sure.
Yes. But you can follow the pod at Trade Addicts Pod on Twitter. I am at Dynasty. Nice. At Dynasty Outhouse. Please follow me. Please follow the pod. Please follow Brian. Please listen to the pod. Please, please, please listen to the pod. Subscribe on everything, I think. I got us on iTunes, Google Play. We're on SoundCloud, whatever other words are that are podcast hosts. Mm-hmm. Stitcher, that's the one. So subscribe, rate and review. Let us know how great we are. Yeah, even if you think we're bad, tell us we're great anyway, because we need the ego boost.
Yes.
Yes, and that's it for today. And just remember, if you hear a fellow addict screaming out that he needs the trade, jump on the grenade. Maybe give him a little bit. You'll get something back later. Have a good one, everybody.
See ya.